Okay, we're set.
You're good?
We're good.
All right. Well, I guess let's start with, can you kind of sum up what we were doing? What was the point, the goal, and then what were the methods for what we were doing today?
Yeah, so today you came out on the Lake Winnebago Bottom Trawl Survey. It's a survey that has been conducted with the same methodology since 1986. It really samples pretty much every species and, I guess, life stage of species that, you know, exists out there where we're able to trawl using, you know, that gear. But kind of the main objectives for us, some of the first questions you get when you go out, we're really looking at the year class strength for walleye, as well as a lot of the other game and panfish species that people target on the system here. So that's essentially the number of the smaller individuals that you catch. You know, the more smaller ones, the ones that were born the previous spring. That's why you call them young a year, often abbreviated as YOY.
Oh, sorry. The whole thing or just?
Yeah, the whole thing. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, that's fine. I could probably do it better.
You probably do it in your sleep. So it's called a bottom trawl survey, right?
Yes, yep.
And so you're talking about how long ago did it start?
So the bottom trawl survey in its original, or I guess in its current, you know, modern methodology started in 1986. The research vessel that you guys are out there on today was actually part of a much earlier rough fish removal program, and that kind of dates back, I think it ended around the 70s. But now that vessel is used primarily for, actually it's really only use that we have for it now is the Winnebago Bottom Trawl Survey. And again, it samples pretty much all species that you find out in the lake. Some species are going to be more geared towards being observed in the trawl. It's really good at documenting walleye population numbers, the young of year catch, so the year class strength. Basically, the more fish that you catch, the small ones that were born the previous spring, it tells you that they had a successful spawn if they're caught in high numbers. You can then even then look at recruitment of those young of year fish, comparing the young of year catch from, say, 2022 to the yearling size catch of 2023. So you can look at recruitment that way. It really just gives us a good way to keep tabs on the, you know, multiple fisheries, all the different species, you know, how they're doing, how the reproduction's going, what the adult population's like, what size structure is like, and gives a lot of insight to anglers as well. We put out that report, usually comes out around November, and I typically get some phone calls and emails asking for it before it's actually out there.
So this, what we got today, is not the only survey. Like, you do this multiple times and average them out.
Yep.
It's not just the one day that you were out there and what you got that day.
Yeah, so Winnebago is a absolutely massive body of water. It's the largest inland lake in Wisconsin. It's about 137 some thousand acres, so it's kind of hard to wrap your head around if you're used to just like normal sized inland lakes. We also have the upriver lakes that are part of the system as well, but the survey does only cover Winnebago. Kind of scattered throughout the lake, we have 46 waypoints. Those are the same 46 waypoints we have been trawling on, you know, going back to 1986 to keep it standardized and comparable across all these years of data that we have. And then we'll do it the first week in August, the first week in September, the first week in October. And then each one of those months, we do the same 46 waypoints. So they're essentially done in triplicate, and we take the average of those 3 months to, I guess, write up the final report.
I don't think a lot of people realize how much just counting goes into this.
Yeah, there was, today you guys saw it. We had some extremely high catch rates for trout perch, which are these kind of small forage fish species. They're a highly utilized forage species for a lot of our sought-after game fish like walleye and sauger. And actually yesterday, the day before you guys came out, we had 16,500 in a single net pull. I think we were on the table counting for a good 20, 30 minutes there. Today we actually moved over to check weighing them, as you guys probably observed, and yeah, if we kept on getting those really high numbers, that's kind of what you have to do.
But what is so significant about making sure that this count is comparable to, you know, the last 20, 30, 40 years of counts?
For the standardization of it, you know, if you were to switch up your waypoints or do something different, this has been done the same way since 1986. If you change something and then get a different result, you really can't use it to compare. That's a really big thing in fisheries management in general, the standardization of methodology. And it's all relative, you know, it's trend data and it's relative to what has happened before.
And so that's important for people to understand, because it's not, because a fisherman will think, well, they're hitting over here, or last year they were hitting over there, mm-hmm. but you can't just go where you think they're hitting, or where the word of mouth at the either the bar or the bait shop is.
Yeah, and that kind of gets into, I guess, like the law of averages and why we have 46 different waypoints scattered all over the lake. And then not only are we hitting, like, again, we're doing them in triplicate and taking the average of those. So, you know, maybe there's an off day and fish aren't in whatever location for whatever reason. That's why we do it in triplicate, to get that average. And then if you do it the same way, again, law of averages, everything comes together and it's comparable over the long term.
So what did you see today in terms of the number of walleye per net pull? Was that average, high, low?
Yeah, so currently right now in Lake Winnebago and the Winnebago system in general, we do have a above average adult walleye population. We had a very large year class in 2022. You guys probably saw today the biggest net pull of young of year walleye. Again, the young of year indicating the year class strength or how successful the spawn was. I think we had like 35 in a net pull. In 2022, we were having net pulls well over 100, you know, basically indicating that they had a very, very successful spring. The adult numbers are up. The average is right around 5, and most net pulls we were getting, you know, between 5 and 10. So we do have a lot of the survey to go. We were also right on the west side here, right in the main lake. That is where we typically see a good amount of walleye. We can kind of get lower numbers on the north end and maybe the east side occasionally, but they can, you know, they move around and numbers fluctuate and vary. You could look at like the standard deviation of the data set between waypoints, and it can be somewhat surprising actually. But the young of year catch overall, you know, again, like people will be calling and asking like, hey, how'd the first week of the trawl survey look? Like, how's the year class? And it's like, as of now, we're probably sitting at above average hatch for Winnebago system walleye. That being said, you know, those numbers could drop off as we move into the later months. So I don't really want to make any like claims on it now. But yeah, the adult walleye population was definitely looking good, above average for sure.
So why didn't we see any larger walleye in any of the net pulls? Seemed like there were a few 11 to maybe 14.
Yeah, I mean, so the average size of fish on Winnebago, you know, you're really going to see fish between like 15 and 18 inches. You do see bigger fish, like in our spring electrofishing survey, when we're up there during the spawn, we see fish as big as 28, 29 inches. They are relatively rare. It's definitely more of a, I guess you could say, like consumption or harvest oriented fishery around here. It's really what the system is relying on is a lot of natural reproduction, and then the anglers most definitely utilize that resource. And people will, I guess, ask a lot about if adult numbers go down. That's actually not the most concerning thing that could happen on the Winnebago system. The most concerning thing would be the lack of production for a prolonged period of time. The system is absolutely massive. We have a really unbelievable amount of spawning habitat for these fish to utilize, and as long as environmental conditions line up, the reproductive history of fish, not just walleye but fish in general, it's to, you know, spew out a whole lot of eggs and then how many of them survive. So as long as that can still occur and those fish can be replenished, the young of year catch, I guess is what I'm getting at, could be more concerning.
You were talking about the size of this lake versus other lakes that most people would probably be on if you don't actively go fish Winnebago. And it is stunning to see just the, I mean, just the drum that we're pulled out, but just like the number of fish, period, is huge.
Yeah, just the biomass of the freshwater drum that we get in the trawl is very, very impressive. I think like if you look at the like end results from the survey, it's like well over 50,000 individuals each year. And that they're not small fish either. Like the trout perch, obviously they're, you know, those little kind of forage fish type. But yeah, the drum, they range from, you know, 9 inches to we get them up to like 25, 26 on some exceptionally large individuals.
And you also pulled a few sturgeon.
Yeah.
You scanned those. Looks like one came across as having been tagged.
Yeah, one of them did have a pit tag. So Lake Winnebago is home to one of, if not the largest lake sturgeon population in the world. And if you, you know, want to take it into account, like, fish per acre or however, like, yeah, maybe obviously Great Lakes are so much bigger, so the population might have more individuals, but for density, Lake Winnebago is probably, if not the biggest, one of the biggest in the world for lake sturgeon populations.
And so what's the significance of having volunteers come out and do a this?
Yeah, so volunteers are great. You know, one, it really helps us get our work done. You guys saw how many fish we were counting today and how many, like, how much time it takes to do that. If we had to have that much more staff on the boat. And then two, you guys were out on the boat today with a lot of Walleyes for Tomorrow members, and those guys not only do a lot of their own work all around the system, I know I think you guys were covering some of their portable hatchery work, but they fund projects for us. They come to, you know, Winnebago Fisheries Advisory Committee meeting, have their input, and it's just a really and really good way to, I guess, gauge the wants and concerns of the public versus, you know, what we're doing as a state agency. So not only the Walleyes for Tomorrow guys, but then all the other volunteers that come out, they are typically with a sportsman's club, or they're just a average angler who read the trawl report and saw at the bottom that they could sign up to volunteer. So it's a really good way to kind of bridge that disconnect that often happens between anglers and the state agencies managing these resources.
They probably get a different perspective of what it's like out there versus mm-hmm. just being in their own boat.
Yeah, I know, and it's like all anglers are going to have their own anecdotal fishing experience, like, oh, I caught more fish this year and I caught more fish this year, and it's like, well, if you come on our boat, will you really get a better understanding just because of the sheer amount of fish that we're handling and the gear that we're allowed to use to sample the population.
And a couple more detail oriented, so the net and the drag can cover 1 acre in each of the waypoints?
Yep, so the net is 27 feet wide when the boards have it expanded open. We tow that behind the boat at 4 miles per hour for 5 minutes. If you do that calculation there, someone can fact check me if you want. It comes out to roughly 1 acre. So each trawl will cover 1 acre. Each trawling event, you know, the 46 waypoints in triplicate will add up to 138. If you think that Winnebago is 137,000 acres, like the entire, if you think about the acreage coverage versus the whole system, it's like 0.01% of the system that we're actually covering with that bottom trawl, or I guess of the lake, not the system. But
that's enough to have accuracy and faith in the numbers you're putting out.
Yeah, and it's all, again, going back to the standardization and the relativeness. So it's relative to what we have been doing, and it is a very extensive survey. Like, yes, it's a very big lake, but we have 46 different sites scattered all throughout. We're dragging that net down there for 5 minutes, 4 miles an hour. It's we catch a lot of fish, get a good idea of what's going on out there.
Can I get you to say and spell your name and give your title, and then just give us the names of the other DNR people on the boat?
Yeah, Angelo Cozzola, that's A-N-G-E-L-O-C-O-Z-Z-O-L-A. I am a senior fisheries biologist for the Wisconsin DNR based out of Oshkosh, covering game fish management on the Winnebago system. The other DNR staff on the boat, Jason Coles was the guy with the orange bib on. Jason is J-A-S-O-N-K-O-H-L-S. The gentleman with longer hair was Nate Szymanski. That's N-A-T-E-S-C-H-M-A-N-S-K-I. You might want to spell check that one. And then the boat captain was Ryan Zernzak. That's R-Y-A-N-Z-E-R-N-Z-A-C-H.
Great. Thank you so much. We're good with that end.